Siman Lamed Beis Sif Lamed Gimel. Yaseh Ashur Shabbos. You want to make them up and down on the column, beginning of the column. They should all start in the same place. You don't want one being more indented than another. Ulapachas Yizor Shal Yichtiv Shalosh Oisias Chutz Lashito Avim Ktsavim Leposal. You want to keep once you created that paragraph, that starting line. You don't want to write any. You want to write letters beyond that. Let's say to the right of, you know, starting before that, not three letters. If you did, it's not going to pass.
Is that a din or is it an esa?
It's a din, but it's not ma'akev b'dieved. Okay, sifkatan kuf mem zayin. You want to have them all start in the same place. It shouldn't be even one letter shifted over. It looks more beautiful that way. We are day at Simon Reish and Gimel, Pasuk Aram, Lokiptin and Elo Shal Yitub Roy Vateva Chutzashita. Okay, so if you have a letter which is a very long, if your word is a very long word, and three letters is not Roy of the word, the word is seven or eight letters long, so three letters long would still be the minority of the word. So Rambam says, in that situation, you're clearly going to have Roy of the word within the regular body of the writing. So the fact that the meat is beyond the writing is not a problem. And here we're saying that even not like that, even if it's the meat of the teva, it's the meat of the teva, so it's going to be, you shouldn't do it. Therefore, the Rambam goes to the point to say that even if the word is eight letters long, you could even write four letters outside of the shita, because it's not roiv of the word, is not roiv of the letters of the word outside of the column. And here we're saying that's not true. Three letters out of the column is incorrect to do. that's the Shach says over there, but that's what I'm referring to. Sefer Torah, I'm Bel Yerabba, Shaddai to the Kaponim, Betilin Shagliyanus, Kitsorim, Yesh Lahachmer. Even if by Sefer Torah we're not going to be Machmer, but by the Tfilin, which the spaces are between the columns are not significant, it looks more out of place when you have this nice, big, beautiful Sefer Torah, and there's a big gap between the columns, so a few letters over, it doesn't have this create the same impact on the eye that when you have a very small space, and like a lot of these letters are outside of the column, that looks much worse. Now, if you did write them outside of the shura, bein shahaya blita b'tchila sashita over b'sayf, it'll apply at the beginning of the row or at the end of the row. Lo pasul. Kufnun. Afilu im kosev teva shlema chutzashita. Even if a whole word is outside of the column, it is kosher. Kol shenikr shenikres im oisa shita b'loim ha'omad she'acher b'tzida. As long as it's clear that it belongs to the column over here, not to the column over there. At the end of the column, it belongs to the column here, and not to the column over there. So it's clear that this word that you're writing over here is connected to where it's supposed to be. If that's clear from the way it's written, that's still kosher. If, however, it gets to the point where it's not, then obviously then we have to deal with that differently. Then Siflamadalid, Shte Oysia Shehem Teva Achas, Lo Yichtav Chutzashita. So we said three letters out you shouldn't write. Two letters out is okay. If the two letters are a word, then you shouldn't write it, you shouldn't have it outside of the column. If the word is three letters, see, it's interesting. Kanech, we said you can't put the majority of the letters outside of the column, as we said before. That's also in conjunction with the fact that it's three letters. The problem is when you have the confluence of both problems. It's three letters, and that's Reiv of the Teva. If it's three letters and it's not Reiv of the Teva, according to the Rambam, that case is Mutter. If it's Reiv of the Teva, it's not three letters, only two letters. The whole word is three letters long, and you wrote two of them out. Again, so it's only two letters out. So that even though it's Reiv of the Teva is outside of the column, it's still kosher. Or it's mutter. Okay. Now, Lamed Hey. Oisius Hashem, Tzarech Shiyu Kulam Besech Adaf, Velo Yetzeh Mehem Klal Chutz Adaf. There is this idea that we can have like a letter, the word was sort of like hanging out there a little bit. That's acceptable when it's dealing with other words. When you're dealing with the Shem of Hashem, to have it sort of like sitting out there, hanging out there, that's not correct. Any one of the Shemas when it says Hashem, we understand to mean the Shem of Havaya, but it's Lav Dafka, the Shem of Yud Kevovke. It's any one of the Shemas which are not Nimchak, Elokecha, Elokim. Okay, so the tzarek, that has to be kulam b'sech daf, and none of that, it should not go at all outside of the daf. Kulam gimel, tzarek. I'm going to run the shame again, repeat me post now. This halacha, even by the shame havaya, this is only the chachila, should not be placed outside of the column. But yevet ain lahachna. And we come back. I mean, Eric came to sefer Torah, so it's kosher. But yevet, fine. So I thrill it. It's done. This is where it is. It's done already. And you can't erase the shame. So you put it wherever it is. It is. You can't rearrange the column. Because you can't, it's such like a sidrin, so it's done. However, Mekomakamim Erikim Besefer Torah, Hara Limcha Kalashura Salyanis, Imen Behem Shum Shem, Imen Shem Hashem and Nimchokin, Velim Shako Yisom, Shiyu Shabbosim Hashem. The eight is, let's say the scenario where you started the shame too early. So the beginning of this line, there was a shame, and he moved the shame over. So what's the Eitzah? Move over the lines above it. Move them over. Shift them over. So now they're all will be parallel.
From the beginning of the column.
From the top of the column. So now that only works if there aren't words that you can't erase over there. But assuming that all of the words above it, it's the fourth line from the top. You only have to deal with three lines above it. You haven't written anything further. So you have to deal with those three lines. So the Eitzah is to erase those words, shift them over a little bit, and stretch them a little bit. Some letters which are stretchable, and then you'll end up making everything parallel. So that's the correct Eitzah. And obviously, that wouldn't be possible to tell them, because once you erase that word, you're in trouble. Or you erase the letter, you're in trouble. Since you have a solution, that's not, we're saying Bidi Evan is kosher. It's not Bidi Evan yet, it's still a solution. If above there's a name of Hashem, then kosher kach will tikkun. So in a scenario you can't, then it's kosher, but if you could, you have to. Okay, now that is the Magen Avraham. The Yeshua Kareem, the Philip Yevid, some say either that this issue of the Shem Hashem being outside of the column is a problem, even Bidi Yevid. And he brings this, and then Sharatin brings the Makarasa, who says that. His giving Mahama Gurner with Kivagir Bhader Chachaim. If Kivagir and the Der Chachaim, the Nasibis both agreed with that opinion that Bidi Evid, it's even b'di evidence possible. Okay. So he says, "Ach im b'shuras al yonis oiso achren beis dalas reish v'kadayma shechol l'moshkan." So if the situation was that the Shem Hashem was extended out beyond the row at the end of the row, and the rows above it ends with a beis or with a dalet or with a resh. Shiachol l'moshkan, these are letters which we can stretch. So if over here, if this was your column and the Shem over here went all the way to the end, and over here it's a beis and a resh, so you just extend your beis. So you just extend the top of the resh or top of the dalet. Those are letters which we can extend. So we have an eitz over there. So the way to make it all of them parallel going down with the letters of the Shem Hashem, which extended beyond the row. If you extend the letters above, if you can stretch them, so you solve the problem. It's not considered shloka sidrin because you didn't erase anything. You didn't erase the base. You just extended the letter. You've written one row so far. In the next row, you extended the shame too long. So if you only have one row above it, so you move your sirtut over, the next row went a little bit further. Let's say in that scenario, it went a little bit further. So you move the sirtut over, and all of the rows below it are going to be parallel to the second row. So the second row doesn't look out of place. LMI what? The first row is short. Okay, so the first row is short. That's impossible. It makes the shame look out, extending out. No, it doesn't. All of the rows below it are parallel to the shame. It looks like the shame is not the one which is extraordinary. It's the first row which is extraordinary. And it follows the shame. This issue, which we're saying that the b'di'evad that he brings from the kereger is machmor, the derech ha'chaim, if the shame is extending out beyond the row, it's a problem. However, that's only the actual shame. But you have the word elukecha. So if the chaf sofis is it's called a nitzvul to the shame, which means it's connected but it's secondary to the shame Hashem. It's not part of the actual shame. It means your God, right? So the chaf over there means yours, and that the fact that it's outside of the row is definitely not going to pass. No, we did that. Okay. Then he said, "So the shame, nothing should go out of the column at all. We have a cloud." Even one letter should not be extending of the shame beyond the column. After the af,
what about the yud kei vav kei and the additional letters that would make it like a vowel? Like for example, I'm just thinking there must be hundreds of them. But like I'm thinking of hazinu. I'm talking about the sefer Torah, not tefillin. Okay, I assume the sefer Torah halacha is pretty much the same.
Okay.
Lehazina Hala Hashem Tigmalugazos, and the hay and the lamada sticking out in the front of it. And
right, you're saying that's not going to.
That's not a problem. No, because you said Elokecha, and you said.
Right, okay.
But it's the same with Hashem's Yerkevavke name, too? Is that the same halacha?
Correct, right.
Okay.
The Kiddush over here is Mashal Ben Hal Hashem, the hay and the lamada do not get Kiddushas Hashem.
Right.
The halachas that need to fall them get Kiddushas Hashem, because since they are. Part of the word it is the word is Elokecha. It's not Elokim. It's not Elokei. It's Elokecha.
Right.
That's the word. Lashem means to Hashem. So the Lamed is not as chomer as Elokecha.
Oh, so that's even stronger than even though.
To say even that we're not even Elokecha is not going to be a problem. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I would have thought because Hashem's name is more than Elokim.
Yeah, I don't think it makes
sense. Lavdafka.
I don't think so. Okay. Mehem klal. Nothing should go out. Kufnun dalet. Even one letter is a problem. It shouldn't go out at all. Efshe da'af ruba kukuloi. I'll mix this ois lesson book. Even if it's not even the whole letter, it's if the majority of the letter. Now, before we were talking about the right of the word, now we're talking about, you know, excellent of the letters. Now we're talking about the one letter. If it's only partially sticking out, the column is here and it sticks out a little bit. The letter itself sticks out a little bit. So if it's the miyut of the letter sticking out, it's not a problem. Rubai of the letter is sticking out, even though it's not the full amount, that's kikuloi. Says maybe. I will make this always less than ball. Vim yotza Hashem kuloi chutz the gillion ha'amid. Kosher b'diyevin. It comes out an interesting din. If one of the letters is sticking out, it's worse if the whole Shem Hashem is out. When a darbal yotza oisachas chutz ha'shita, the masha yotza l'chutz hu kosher kitzliya. The kaimel on the biyar deh, reishai and vav. The mix is a shame. Ain't tella. You're not tella. You don't just, you know, let it hang, as it were. So that's like, you know, part of you're putting some letters of the shame of Hashem. Middle of nowhere. What are you doing? Mashen game is that. Ken kosev habena yona. So the bena yona is a very choshev a safer on the hilchos safra. So the bena yona says that if the whole shame is out, it's better because it's not covered, but doesn't have the same level. The halach of Ein Tarlin that you may not let it look like it's hanging. That applies to letters, doesn't apply to a word. Whether we call having the whole Shem Hashem better or not.
Out of line.
Okay, now the Sif Lamed Vav deals with the halacha of how to set up the parshias, Rabsuchas and Stumas. Now there's a machlokes in the Rambam and the Rush, so we know that in the Sefer Torah there's openings which are called referred to as Psuchas. There's openings which are referred to as Stumas. You look in your Chumash, it says Pei or it says Samach. So there's two different types of Halacha Moshe B'Sinai of how you I'm not sure what's the word for paragraph. How you paragraph or how you separate the parshias. Now, what is the definition of Psucha and Stuma? So the Rosh says that the Psucha means, in the case where it's a psucha at the beginning of the row, you leave a space of nine letters open, and then you write. Then you start writing. That's called a psucha. Okay, so at the beginning of the row, you leave nine letters open, and you start writing. In the case where psucha would be, you finish writing, and then the next part is a psucha. If there's a space for nine letters to the end of the row, so you leave all of that open. So it goes, it's open all the way to the end of the row. You start the next line, beginning of the line. So you've left a gap, a total gap. There's a total open-ended, either at the beginning of the line, it's open-ended, or the end of the line is open-ended. And it has to be a space of nine oisius.
When would it be in the beginning if the last paragraph ended at the end of the line? Is that
correct?
What you're saying?
Correct. Or if it didn't,
there wasn't nine letters at the end of the line.
Correct. So you would have to. You would extend that one out to the end of the column. You'd find some letters. In other words, you can extend and make it all the way to the end of the column. Then you would leave nine letters open, and then you would start in the next line. You would start. You would indent nine letters and start. So that's called psucha. Stuma, the Rosh says, is that in the middle of the line there's going to be a gap. There's writing at the beginning of the line, there's writing at the end of the line, in the middle there's a gap. That's called a stuma. So it's sosa means because there's nothing open. Psucha, there's an open end. Either the beginning of the line is open or the end of the line is open. It goes all the way to the end. Look, it's open out. It opens out into the column. And the sosum means it's closed off on both ends from the column. It's not connecting at all to the empty space of the empty column.
Well, how did you finish the paragraph? I guess you dubbed. if you finish the last paragraph at the end of the line and the next one is supposed to be a stuma, then you're in trouble.
Correct.
Then you can't make it a stuma anymore.
So that part of your writing,
you have to plan this out.
You have to plan it out. The one exception which you have according to the Rush, you can do, if you leave a whole line empty, that's called a stuma. So we look at this end at the end of this one. We start at the beginning of this one, so it's not psuchos.
Right.
In between, there was a gap. So that's the other rates according to the Rush, which we don't like doing. Okay, that's the Rush. The Rama, however, disagrees. That the Rama says psucha starts at the beginning of the line. You start writing at the beginning of the line. And it's psuach because the line before you ended off and you left the gap of 9 oisius. So, and if that there wasn't 9 oisius at the end of the line, you leave a whole line open, you start at the beginning of the next line at the beginning of the line, that's called a psucha according to the Rama. So you can hear that according to the Rush, that would be called a stuma. This went all the way to the end of the line, gap in between, to the beginning of the line. The Rush calls that a stuma, the Rama calls that a psucha. So that's that. Or the Rama's other pshat is the Rama says that if you left from the end of this line, you empty to the end of the line, and you start to begin the next line at the beginning of the line, the Rama calls that a psucha. So that type of psucha they both agree on. So you want to make preferably all of your psuchas in your Sefer Torah in such a way that both the Rambam and the Rush would agree that's called a psucha. So anytime you need a psucha, you want to leave the previous parsha end in the middle of the line or somewhere, leave an open space to the end of the line, and then start the next line at the beginning. So according to the Rush, that's called a psucha. According to the Rambam, that's called a psucha, and we're very happy. The other option would not be true according to both the Rush and the Rambam.
How did the Sufferim actually do it? They have like a prototype that they follow.
So nowadays, there was a cipher 100-something years ago who spent time figuring this out, and he made a system of spacing of all of the words, etc., in such a way that you will get that you can mekayim the Rambam and the Rush throughout the Sefer Torah. And he wrote a tikkun to use for that purpose, and that's become why nowadays almost all Sefer Torah, the oldest Sefer Torah you find on that they have different Surah Sadaf. But nowadays, they almost all follow the exact same Surah Sadaf. And the Tikkun Karim that you buy nowadays, any of the new Tikkun Karim, all have a standardized setup based for the page. This. It was all based on this. I forgot his name. There was a cipher for like, you know, he did this without a computer. He did, he typeset the. It was a tremendous amount of work. I don't know how long it took him, but he did it.
Did he do the same thing with HaMelech Megillus too? That must be some talent to get always the HaMelech on the top. It's
I don't know.
Shorter, but it's similar sort of exercise.
I don't know whether he ever addressed that one or not.
Was the case of the Rambam where he said you have to skip a whole line?
It says if you don't have enough to leave 9 letters empty at the end of the line, if you skip a whole line, you start the next one at the beginning of the line. That's called a psucha according to the Rambam. According to the Rush, not leaving line letters empty is basically, as it were, going to the end of the line. So you went to the end of that line, you left the line open, you start beginning the next line, that's called a stuma. So that's the Rambam calls that a psucha, the Rush calls that a stuma. What's the definition of a stuma? What's a stuma according to the Rambam? The Rambam has two options for a stuma. One of them is the same as the Rush. Is there's writing at the beginning of the line, there's a gap, and there's writing at the end of the line. So there, that's a stuma which the Rambam and the Rush overlap. However, the Rambam also holds, if you indent the beginning of the line, that's called a stuma. Because his definition of psucha was you start at the beginning of the line before was empty. Over here, you're riding on this line. On this line, there's both. That, he called that a stuma. According to Rush, that's called a psucha. If you leave nine letters, then you start writing in the middle. You leave at the beginning of the line, nine letters empty, and then you start writing. The Rush calls that a psucha. The Rambam calls that a stuma. The case where the Rambam and the Rush overlap is where there's writing at the beginning of the line, there's a gap of nine letters in the middle, and then you start writing again. So the Rush calls that a stuma. It's around the both sides. The Rambam calls that a stuma because you have a gap, and then you have writing afterwards. So
nine letter gap.
Yeah. So theoretically, if we with a lot of effort, we can get all of our stumas to come out to be play out a situation where the Rush and the Rambam would agree. You get all of our psukas to come out in a situation where you end your line before somewhere in the middle of the line, you go to the end of the line empty, then the next line you start at the beginning of the line. Rambam says that's a psukha, Rush says that's a psukha. So if with a lot of chachma, we can get all of our psukas to be psukas according to the Rush and the Rambam. We can get all of our stumas to be stumas according to the Rush and the Rambam. Okay. Zot, the Shulchan Aruch. So you're writing your tefillin shel yad. So they're written in one klaf. So you should write them. Yasa kol parshiyos psuchos. So the parshiyos have to be psuchos, which would mean, for our scenario, means you'd end the previous parsha at the middle of the line, and leave a gap to the end of the line, then you go up to the top of we write them in columns next to each other, and you start at the beginning of the column. So Rosh says that's a psukha because there's a gap at the end of the line. Rosh says that's a psukha. There is a gap at the end of the line. So that's we do the parsha says psukhas. Chutzi parsha achrona haksuva b'tara shehi v'hayim shemaya. She has sent a stuma. So the last parsha has to be a stuma. Now that's going to be challenging how to make the last parsha a stuma. According to the Rambam, if you start writing that in the middle of the line, that's called a stuma. So it's empty from beginning of the line until the middle, then you start writing the parsha. The Rambam calls that a stuma. The Rush calls that a psucha. Right? So obviously that part of our challenge over here is we're going to have to figure out how we're going to make this stuma a stuma, which will work according to the Rush and the Rambam. The Mishina Apostle, and the Shulchan Aruch raises the stakes and says, and by the way, if you make the psuchas stumas or the stumas psuchas, it's possible. Comes the Ramah, the Ramah says, V'yesh makshirim bekulam psuchas. So and some say, however, that all of them can be written as psuchas, even the last one. And we didn't say elam noigim af parshas v'hayim shemoya b'roish shita kishara parshias. And we do the same by v'hayim shemoya. We start at the beginning of the line, so we end the parsha before that in the middle of the line. It goes all the way empty to the end. So that's, now the next line starts on top, starts at the beginning of the line. That's a psucha. According to the Rosh and the Rambam, it's a psucha. We're not going to do like that.
Next line starts at the end.
Next line starts at the beginning. Okay. So the Ramah says that's our minute. So we're going to do all of them psuchos. If this one ends in the middle, it goes all the way empty to the end of that line, and then the next line starts at the beginning of the line, that's called a psucha. Because it's the Rambam says psucha starts at the beginning of the line. The Rush says it's psucha because there was the previous one went all the way to the end. Okay, was empty all the way to the end. It was empty all the way in the middle of the line. It stopped and was empty all the way to the end. The chayin noagu. So the Beis continues and he says that once you're saying that v'hayim shemaya, it has to be a stuma and b'shina is possible. Chayin noagu sheparshas kaddishli v'hayi kiviya thought. Parsha Shema, Eschilin Beresh Shita. So we start these three at the top of the beginning of the line. ובסוף קדשלי בסוף הוי קביעך מניחם חולק קרליטוי בתסויסיוס. So we leave, we make sure the last line does not write all the way to the end, and we finish writing the last line, and there's a gap of at least nine letters to the end of the line. So that's called that end of the Emser Shura. It was open all the way to the end of that line. It was open, and the next parsha starts at the beginning of the lines. So that's called a Pesucha. So that's how we. So the first one is obviously a Pesucha in the sense it starts from there's nothing before it. So it's Mamash a Pesucha. Right. So, but we, that's what we do with the two of them. Now, Ubesayv Shema, Ein Menichim Cholok. We do not leave it empty at the bottom. We take it all the way to the end of the line. So again, this is according to the way the Mechaber learns, which Ramah said already. The Ashkenazim will not do like this. So you take it all the way to the end of the line, and then according to the Rambam, if you indent the beginning of Vahayim Shemoya, that's called a Stuma. This one it's all at the end of the line. This one starts indented after 9 Arisius. That's called a Stuma according to the Rambam. And even if we can't get Shema Golway to the end of the line, it's less than 9 Arisius, that's the same thing. It accomplishes the same thing. And we start Vahayim Shemoya, which is the last column. We started Be'emsa, we indent 9 Arisius, then we start writing there. So the first three were able to finagle both the Rosh and the Rambam, and the last one we have no eight, so we cannot finagle the Rosh, but we'll work it out that it should be considered a stuma according to the sheet of the Rambam. A stuma according to the Rambam, right? So that's the Shulchan Aruch. There's a lot of Mishpura over here. And yeah, let's see where we're holding over here. Maybe we'll leave the Mishpura for tomorrow. Okay. Sweet.